Tonight, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to be in verses 1 through 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Father, we do thank you again for tonight. Thank you for the day that you brought us through. Lord, it's always good to be in God's house with God's people just to get encouragement, Lord, of seeing other believers and obviously as a body of Christ hearing from heaven. Father, we ask that you bless the children in Kid Venture, that you administer to their hearts, helping them to understand the Bible lesson that's being taught, help them to have fun with the games, the crafts. Father, we just ask that you would, Lord, bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then help them, Lord, as they grow in their life, to grow in their relationship with Christ. Father, would you continue to help us to continue growing in our relationship with Christ, always relying upon you, never relying upon our own understanding, but relying upon the one who does direct our paths. Father, I ask that you would bring honor and glory to yourself tonight in the lives of your people, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I like it when God confirms that what you are to do is the right thing. I kind of struggled with tonight's message because tonight I want to talk to us about the biblical remedy for stress. The biblical remedy for stress, and I kind of went back and forth, is it the right thing? Should I be doing this? But the second song that we sang tonight was Living by Faith. Living by Faith, and it says in verse number 1, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. It's true. The stress of life is vain. It's real, and we'll be faced with stress in our life, but it's up to us to decide who controls our heart and our emotions, the stress of life or the God that we love and serve. Because it goes on in the chorus of this hymn, living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm, safe in his sheltering arm. I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. There's no reason for the child of God to allow stress to rule in their life. We will always face stress. We'll always face the temptation to be full of anxiety. But as God's people, we do not have to allow our souls to be cast down. David said in Psalm 42 and verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now you might think, well, Pastor, it's a strange message tonight that you would want to preach and teach on stress, but it is something that every single person faces. It is what the devil wants to do to destroy a child of God's faith in their God, and David obviously faced stress in his life. The hymn writer faced stress in their life. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 faced stress in his life as he tried to fulfill the will of God in his life, even with opposition. Because if you notice in verse number 1, Paul says, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you." Basically, he's saying in his letters, he's bold in his letters, but when he's in their presence, he's humble. He doesn't try to act Lord over them or over their lives, but in his letters, he tried to encourage them, tried to tell them biblically what was wrong and how to change things in their life for God's glory. In verse 2, he says, "But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, or with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." There were those in the Corinthian church that were really against Paul and really would say things against Paul. And yet Paul here did not allow what people thought or said of him to affect his spiritual life with the Lord. And you and I have to be on guard, as again, the devil wants to use stressful situations in our life to destroy us and to destroy our confidence in our God. Tonight I want us to see the remedy of stress in our life. Again, we'll always face stress. There's just things in life that you and I will face, but we do not have to allow the stress of life to rule in our life, but we do need to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our life in all situations. When you look at verse 3 and 4 in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want us just to see the conflict that is in all of us and the reason for this conflict. And when I read these verses, these supporting verses I'm going to read in a minute, we'll read verses 3 and 4, in no way am I saying God is the reason for the stress or the conflict in us. In verse number 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." You and I, as God's people, have to remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual battle. Yes, we do face reality. We face things that are real, but the devil wants to use every opportunity he can to destroy your faith and my faith, our confidence in God and God's will for our life, and the fact that God can change our circumstances around for our good and his glory. Paul says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." The first thing I want us to be reminded of is you and I are made in the image of God. You and I are made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, go to Genesis chapter 1. If you have a hard time finding the book of Genesis, it's the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1, and look at verse number 6 if you would. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God said, let us make man in our image. And when God said that, not that we are equal to God, but we have three parts to ourselves, the spirit, the soul, and the body. There's three, if I can say, three parts to God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right? That's the image we're made in. There's three parts to us. Look at verse 27. "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And you think about it. God has feelings, right? God's not a human, but he has feelings. He loves, he hates. The Bible says there's seven things he hates. Seven things are an abomination to him, all right? And all throughout Scripture, it talks about God's love, his love for you and for me. We have emotions, all right? We have a body, and we have a spirit that will live on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, just reminding us of our consistency, the fact that we're made in the image of God. In the book of Psalms, it talks about that we have not made ourselves, but God has created us. God's made us. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Again, you think about, we have a body that does endure conflict at different times, endure stress. I think most, probably all of us in here understand that when we find ourselves stressed on the inside, it affects us physically. Stress affects a person physically. And God does not want us to live under stress. He wants us to cast the stress at His feet, casting our cares upon Him, for He careth for us. And I'm glad again that we're reminded that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Yet without sin, and you and I can live a life that is stress-free. What I mean by stress-free is giving our stress to the one who can do something about it. If you're like me, you have spent time before worrying about things that is out of your power, and it has taken a toll on you. You know, you think, I know sin takes a toll on people, and being fearful, being worrying is sin for the child of God, because we are to live by faith. We are to trust the Lord, not having any doubt that God will help us in our life. And some people age faster because they allow stress to rule in their life. And God never meant for that to be in the child of God's life. But again, the fact that you and I, we have a body, we have a spirit, we have a soul, we are, the devil wants to use the stressful things in life to tear us down, to destroy us. Again, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy." Some of the stress in our life is because we have brought it into our life. We've made decisions that were contrary to God's will, and it has caused stress in our life. But then there's just the stress of life. I mean, again, I think about just even the fact that we had two vehicles, and it was great. I could come to church, but now my wife has to bring me and a couple of kids and then go back home and get the rest of the family to come. And as I thought about that earlier, and I was talking to the Lord, you know, Lord, it sure would be nice to have a second vehicle so it wouldn't have to do that. But then I started thinking, but Lord, I do thank you that we don't live that far from the church, that we can actually do that. We don't live, you know, 20, 30 minutes away from the church. The last church I pastored at in Wisconsin, we lived 45 minutes away, 45 minutes one way. There's no way we would be able to do that, to drive that far, to go back and drive again. So I kind of found, you know, that as I was talking to the Lord about something that was a little stressful in my life, that, you know what, God has provided in that stressful moment or in that stressful time of life, that I can look, you know what, I guess it's not that real stressful because you provided a short distance for us, and it's really not that big of a deal. And I started thanking the Lord for just providing even what I didn't see at the time. But I want you to think about when you go and you look at Mark chapter 7. The fact that you and I have human emotions to deal with, we have reality to deal with, there are stressful moments in life, and again, the whole conclusion of the whole matter is truly to cast it upon the Lord and to trust Him. But the core issue in our life when we find ourselves stressed out is a heart issue. It truly is a heart issue. In Mark chapter 7, you look at verse 20 through 23. "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Again, yes, there are stressful moments in life, but they do not have to control us. We do not have to have the mindset that all is lost, all is hopeless. We can have the victory in Christ, knowing that if God is allowing it, there must be a reason for it. And if the devil's just trying to bother me, well, there's another reason for it, and that reason is to give glory to God. I may not, and other people may not, understand completely the stress that's in your life. I can't even imagine the stress that was in Job's life. In one day, he loses everything. And you understand how the devil works? The devil loves to mount as much stress on you as possible. God's not the one that did it in Job's life. The devil was, because God said, he's in your hands. Do what you want. You just can't touch him. So on one day, the devil had all his children killed, had all his livestock taken, many of his servants killed. And as one servant is telling Job about one tragedy, the Bible records that as that servant is speaking, here comes another one. So it wasn't, you know, one day and then, okay, and then the next day. I mean, if stress comes like that, we can kind of handle it. If we have, you know, some time to kind of, okay, think about it and just kind of, you know, assess the situation, how I'm going to handle it and all that. But Job, I mean, as one's talking, here comes another tragedy. Here comes another tragedy. The devil loves mounting it on you and on me. And the best way that he can do it, sometimes it's not even in the physical act of something, sometimes it's just in our mind, where the devil wants us to mount up difficulties and stress where there's not even the stress. Think about the Israelites. Who brought them to the promised land? Did the devil bring them to the promised land, or did God bring them to the promised land? God brought them to the promised land. And as they went through the promised land and saw it was exactly what God said, the devil made sure that they saw the giants. God never said anything about giants. He just talked about a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of prosperity, a land of freedom. They didn't have freedom in Egypt. God brought them to a land of plenty, a land of prosperity, a land of freedom, to be able to worship God, to be able to serve God. And yet they all saw, the 12 spies, including Joshua and Caleb, they saw the giants. Two of them purposed in their heart to focus on God. But 10 of them dismissed the blessing of God that they saw and focused on the giants, focused on something that was too big for them. Now, as adults, we all can agree there's times that things happen in our life where, you know what, it's out of our control. It seems too big for me to handle. And as those 10 men just continue thinking about the giants, the Bible says in their own minds, they became grasshoppers in the sight of those giants. Because they even said it, we're grasshoppers. They said with their own lips, there's no way, we cannot go in. But Caleb and Joshua, they chose to focus on God. They did not allow the giants to stress them out. They did not allow the possibility of what they would have to face when they go into the promised land to stress them out. The other 10 men allowed what they didn't know to stress them out. Now, as adults, and sometimes even as kids, we face things that we just don't know what's going to happen. You know, as I was even talking to the Lord today about the fact that at some point I'm going to have open heart surgery. It's already been said. I'm going to have it between my age right now, 49, and by the time I'm 60. And in the month of August, we'll go back. We'll talk to the heart doctor and find out exactly, you know, when. That can be kind of stressful, because that's where they cut your chest open. And I'm going to be laying on a table, hoping that the surgeon who's doing it knows what he's doing and he doesn't get distracted by talking to other people. I remember in my early years as a teenager and even as a young 20-year-old, seeing shows, you know, where surgeons they're operating on somebody and they're eating their sandwich, they're talking to the other people, they're not really paying attention. You know, that always sticks in your mind, like, I sure hope they pay attention. But you know what? It's fully in God's hand. I'm not stressed over it. I'm not worried about it. But you know what? The devil would want me to be worried about it. See, there's things in our life that are completely out of our hand that the devil wants us to be so stressed over it that we don't even think about God. Those 10 men were not thinking about God when even Caleb and Joshua said, look, they are bread for us. God's given us victory in the promised land. Let's go in and let's take the inheritance that God's given us. And they just wouldn't do it. Core issue is the heart. In Mark chapter 7, he said, that which cometh out of the man defileth the man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. The evil thought of God can't. God can't do it. God can't help me. That's an evil thought. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In Colossians 2, 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I mean, just the answer for the child of God is the Word of God. The world will tell us different. The world, oh, you need to take, you know, depression medication. You need to pop this pill, pop that pill. You know, do this, do that. No, God says, this is the cure for the child of God, His Word. His Word is to dwell richly in our heart. His Word is meant to purify our mind, cleanse our heart, get us right on focus, and to help us to cast down those imaginations that are contrary to God. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. So our heart is the core issue in our life. Is our heart full of faith or full of fear? In verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. First thing I want us to think about in regards to this verse is that we have to cast it down. The thoughts that we have that are contrary to the truth of God's word must be cast down with intensity. Notice he says casting down. Not just, you know, getting rid of it, but casting down. I mean, it kind of carries the implication of taking something and just with all your might throwing it down, getting rid of it, not letting it have any part of your life. Again, the stressful moments will come, but we do not have to allow those stressful moments to control our thoughts, to control our heart. We are to cast down those imaginations, cast down those high thoughts. Again, he says, casting down imaginations. I mean, what is an imagination? It's not true. I remember being in elementary school and the teachers wanted us to sit there, pretend you're a butterfly. I'm not a butterfly. But you know, they just pretend you're a butterfly and fly away and just enjoy it, but I'm not a butterfly. I'm a boy who is rough and tough and wants to play outside and, you know, do all the things little boys do. I say the imaginations, things that are not true. Was it, let me ask you, in regards to those Israelites, the 10 spies that went in, was it true that there were giants in the land? Yes. But was it true that God could not deliver them from the giants? Because they thought there was no way that God could help. That is an imagination. That is a lie that needs to be cast down. God can help because he's a very present help. He's a help in every moment of life that we need his help. Casting down the imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God with intensity. Don't allow it to remain. What caused Eve to sin against God in the Garden of Eden? What caused her to finally sin? Because she stayed there looking at the fruit, thinking about it. God said, don't eat it. You're going to die if you eat it. Well, she sat there. She stood there, as the Bible says, staring at it, thinking, well, sure does look good. I bet it tastes good. And why wouldn't God want me to be wise? Why wouldn't God want me to be able to make my own decisions on what's right and what's wrong? I'll take it. That's what gets us in trouble, is thinking too much about, does God want this? Does not God want this? Should I do this? Should I not? If God clearly tells us no, there should be no thinking. And no, we should not allow stress to rule in our life. We should not allow doubt to come into our heart. And it comes into our heart by what we think. Again, those 10 men thought there was no way that they could go into the promised land, even though God had said the promised land was theirs. When you look at verse 5 again, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. With intensity, we have to cast down those thoughts and not allow them to remain. Don't even think upon those thoughts. Yes, reality is real. What you're facing is real. What you might face is real. But the truth is, what's more real is that we have a God in heaven that already knew what we were going to face. You ever wondered why God didn't tell them about the giants? Why God only told them about what was good? Because if we know every bad thing that's going to happen in our life, we will not follow the path God has for us. We'll always try to find an easy path, a path that has less resistance, a path that we don't have to really fully trust God that much. And God wants us to trust him. That's why he doesn't give us future sight or insight into the future. He gives us hindsight so we can look back and, you know what, I should have trusted God a lot more there, because, you know what, it actually worked out. But not only do we have to be casting down these imaginations intensely, just not letting them be here, but we have to be intentional about it. I want you to look at Romans chapter 13. We have to be intentional about what we do. Because he says, casting down imaginations, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So if I cast it down, well, what do I do? How do I do that? Well, Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 says this: the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So, the armor of light we need to put on, we need to cast off the works of darkness, and the works of darkness is worrying. Yes, again, I'm going to keep saying it. We all face stressful moments. We have things in our life that are stressful. But we have a God in heaven who has all the answers, a God in heaven who loves us and can help us. But he can only help us as much as we let him. Because God doesn't force his way in. Sometimes I wish he would. Sometimes I wish he would just force himself in and just make me do the right thing, think the right way. But he wants us to respond to him in faith. He wants us to respond to him in his leading and in his word that he's already given us. But we have to be intentional on casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 6. Because if we find ourselves being controlled by stress, being controlled by fear, doubt, anxiety, We're missing something. There's something we're missing as the children of God. The lost people, we expect to live without hope. We expect them to have no hope whatsoever. But the child of God should never live that way, and if we are, there's something missing. In Ephesians chapter 6, you look at verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right there is supposed to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Letting God have his way. Letting the peace of God rule in our hearts. Letting God be control of our thoughts. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The whole armor of God. Again, back in Romans 13 and verse 12, let us put on the armor of light. God's armor will always illuminate what's wrong in our life. Will always illuminate what's wrong in our thinking, what's wrong in our heart, where we're giving place to the devil. Because in Ephesians, again, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Like I've said before, and you already know it, yes, there may be a physical person or situation that you're facing, but it's the devil who wants to destroy you through that situation and through that person who may be opposition to you. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mean, when you and I think about the gospel, if we have stress arising in our life, and we start to have those thoughts that God doesn't care, remember the disciples in the boat with Jesus. We kind of understand, you know, the first storm that the disciples are in, Jesus isn't there. He's in the mountain praying. He sent them to go before him. They're stressed out. They're in the midst of a storm. These experienced fishermen are trying to row, trying to get to shore, trying to get out of the storm. They can't. Jesus comes walking on the water. They're so stressed. They're full of fear. They cry out, assuming it's a ghost. And Jesus says, it's I. You know, Peter walks on water. Then Peter and Jesus, they come into the boat. And as soon as they get into the boat, I mean, they're over to the other side, right where the Lord wanted them to go. Kind of understand, okay, well, it seems like the Lord's not with them, but we know he's with them. He saw them. Bible even says he saw them on the Sea of Galilee in that stressful moment. But the second storm that's recorded in the Gospels is the fact that Jesus is in the boat. Well, if Jesus was here, I wouldn't be so worried. Well, he was in the boat with them, asleep, the Bible says, and they were still stressed out, still trying to work in their own strength to get out of that predicament, to get out of that storm. And because they were so stressed out, they turn, they see Jesus, because the Bible says he was asleep. I can imagine just the peace on Jesus' face, because he's the Prince of Peace. Just sleeping like a baby in that storm while they're all frantic, all stressed out, and they ask the Lord, carest thou not? Don't you care what's happening? Don't you care? I'm stressed out. Don't you care? I've done everything I can, and I just can't change it. And what does the Lord say to them? O ye of little faith. Why be worried? He's in the boat. Peter, why be worried? You walked on water in the last storm. But that's the way we are as humans. We forget what he's already done because we're focused on what we're going through now. And the devil wants us to be so focused on the problem that we're not looking at the problem solver. But the Lord, he still calmed the storm. He still said, peace, be still. But you and I have to put on the whole armor so we can do what the Bible says, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is truth? God is my present help in time of trouble. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, we need to protect our heart from the lies of the devil, from the wiles of the devil. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of it. God says the shield of faith, we can quench all the fiery darts of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. The problem with us, and I say us just as in Christians, not necessarily people in here, but just the problem with us as Christians is we don't always put on the whole armor of God. And God says, put on the whole armor of God. It's a daily routine. It's a daily putting on the whole armor of God, taking the shield of faith and praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Lord, help me to stand in your strength. Lord, help me to stand upon your promises. Lord, help me to have on the armor that you have provided so that I can withstand the attack of the devil, not because of anything that I do or not because I'm strong enough, but because I'm relying upon you. I'm relying upon your way of getting victory over the devil. Again, when you think about just the casting down, there has to be a change in our thinking. Look at verse 5 again of 2 Corinthians 10. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There has to be a casting down, and there has to be a captivating thought life, where we captivate or we capture our thought life and don't just let every thought run rampant in our minds that's going to affect our heart negatively towards God and the truth of God's will in our life and the promises of God's word. We have to change our thinking. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The only thing that can help you and me as God's people is the word of God. Not man's philosophy, not man's opinion. Now, it's okay to get counsel because there's wisdom, there's safety, the Bible says, in a multitude of counselors. But the counsel needs to be from another born-again believer, someone who believes the word of God, someone we know will tell us the truth, even if it hurts sometimes. And we need to adhere to the truth of God's word. Again, the devil is a liar. He's the father of it. And he will always lie. You know, the devil will never tell you to do what's right. The devil will never tell you to trust God's word, to follow God's way. The devil will always say what's contrary. Now, he knows scripture, and just with like we did with Jesus, where he quoted scripture, but out of context to the Lord, back in Matthew when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, he knows scripture. And he will try to use scripture against you and me, and that's why we have to know the truth. We have to be walking in the light as he is in the light so that we know, that's not what it means. That's not the context of it. But when you look at Philippians chapter 4 and you look at verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Yeah, but it is true what I'm going through. Yeah, but what's truer? Your God in heaven, who can help you, who can give you the inner peace that you and I need to go through that storm? Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There's not another thing under the sun that you and I can think of that matches this verse other than the Word of God. Why does God say, hide His Word in your heart? Why does God tell us to meditate upon Scripture? He told Joshua the only way he was going to have prosperity and success going into the promised land, going into the battles that he would face, was by meditating on God's Word, obeying God's Word, allowing God's Word to be the lamp unto his feet, the light unto his path. But the world tells us, no, you need something different. I've even had Christians say, no, I need something that's going to help. Don't tell me to read my Bible. I even had somebody one time say, I know what you're going to say, but don't tell me to do it. I need real help. Don't tell me to read my Bible. Well, then I have no counsel for you. Because as a child of God, this is the medicine that we need. Now, can I force people to take the medicine? No. Because when you're prescribed medicine from your doctor, you have to decide whether or not you're going to take it. And I was prescribed some medication from the heart doctor, and I did not pick it up, and I have not taken it. Because it was not the right medication. Well, how do you know that? You're not a doctor. Well, if I already have low blood pressure, why would I take medication to cause me to have low blood pressure? It would make my blood pressure go lower if I took it. So not everything the world wants to prescribe is good for you. And you already know spiritually, nothing the world wants to prescribe is going to help you and me spiritually. It is the Word of God, and it is the number one thing the devil wants and gets a lot of times God's people to discredit. No, I need real help. I need something. I mean, I'm under a lot of stress. I need something more than the Word of God. Then you and I will continue to be under the control of that stress until we release that stress to the Lord and cast it upon Him, reminding ourselves He does care for us. The change comes when we pull down or cast down those imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have to change our thinking back to what is true, and the truth is that God is a very present help in the time of trouble, in the time of need. Because I want you to look at Psalm 51. Because there has to be a change in our thinking. The only way there can be a change is to cast down what is not true and to think on what is true, to think on what is just and honest and pure and lovely and of a good report and that has virtue and praise, which is the Word of God. Because when we do that, when we allow the Word of God to rule in our hearts and minds, then we understand the cure. And the cure is the fact that only God can bring relief into a troubled soul. What is stress? The soul is troubled. That is what David said back in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. There's no need for our soul to be troubled. Are we on our way to heaven tonight? Are we faced with eternity and in hell? Absolutely not. If you're a born-again child of God, then you're faced with eternity with God. And if God has given us a place in His home, because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's mansion, or my Father's house are many mansions. If we have the greatest gift of all time, then we should not allow our soul to be troubled because of earthly problems. In Psalm 51 and verse 10, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. In Psalm 23, verse 3, he said, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. In Psalm 147, he says, He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. God is the cure. God is the answer for the troubled heart, for the stressed out soul. He's the one that will bring relief into our life. The storm may still be there. And we look in Scripture and we see the storm in Paul's life as he was going through a literal storm, as Peter and the disciples were going through a literal storm. Yet they had peace once the focus was back on Christ. And in all those situations, the first storm, the second storm of the disciples, he brought them to the desired haven. He brought them to the place that he wanted them to go. With Paul, he brought him to the island of Melita. He used that storm to get Paul to where he would not have gone before, where the shipmaster would not have sailed before. God uses storms in our life to get us where he wants us to go, because normally we would not choose those situations or those destinations. But we can always trust the Lord. I want you to think about these verses as we end in Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" As he spoke to the disciples, "Why are you so fearful?" And we don't need to be fearful. We don't need to be stressed. How is it that you have no faith? Our faith is in our God and should be in our God. In 1 Peter 5:7, we're reminding, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The world does not care. Honestly, doctors do not care. All they care about is prescribing medication that they get cutbacks on. And you might find a good Christian doctor who truly does care. And you might even find an unsaved doctor that really cares about helping life. But nobody cares about your God like your God and my God. Casting all your care. Because not everybody wants to hear everything that bothers you. Not everybody will even listen to what bothers you. They might say, "Oh, what's the matter?" And then as you're telling them, they're thinking about something else. Their mind is somewhere else. But God truly does care. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In Hebrews 2 and verse 15, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You and I are no longer bondage again to death. Death is just a doorway for God's people into God's presence. We have no fear. If we have no fear over dying right now because we know where we will go, then why fear over seemingly stressful things in life? Yes, they are real, but death is more real than the things we face in life. "Therefore, being justified by faith," in Romans 5:1, "we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." God has given us peace through Christ, but we rob ourselves, and I say we, as God's people, we rob ourselves of the peace that comes through Christ because we do not allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. We allow something else to rule in our heart. God said in Romans 15:33, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." As Paul ends his letter to the believers at Rome, he says, "Now the God of peace be with you all." You and I have that peace. We should not allow stress to rule in our hearts, but we should allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Again, the second hymn that we sang tonight, "Living by Faith." I care not today what the morrow may bring, because I can't change tomorrow. I may not even live for tomorrow. "If shadow or sunshine or rain," whatever happens, "the Lord I know ruleth." Remember, God owns the future. He knows the future. He carries us. He holds our hands. "The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain." Our worry truly is in vain. "Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in his great love, from all harm safe in his sheltering arm." His sheltering arm. God has never left us nor forsaken us, and he never will. "I'm living by faith and feel no alarm." Are we living by faith tonight completely? "Yeah, I was living by faith yesterday." we're talking about today. Because we can always look back at the past. Oh, yeah, you know, I had no worries yesterday, but what about today? What about tomorrow? You and I cannot allow the stress of life to rule our thoughts or control our heart. We must hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.